Well, my question is, has something just changed, you know, concerning God's threatened plan for America and Christianity here? It's a possibility. We'll take a look at it. You know, Pastor T.D. Hale had true dreams about the presidential election of Obama. And he was right about his future plans for America, since UBM Brethren had many dreams that totally agreed. However, the best laid plans of mice and men often go awry, as they say. God uses prayer and repentance to change things, doesn't he? Why does he give us warnings of things to come? Well, it's because he wants us to pray. He wants us to draw close to him. He wants us to repent. He had a dream about 3 years ago that after the death of an important person, that many believed that was Justice Scalia, there would be chaos coming to America. Scalia left in what was probably the most important time of his career. There were many decisions about to be made concerning the future of America. And because he's not there, America will be able to be turned to the left because of the rest of the justices there. But contrary to procedure, he was cremated in 3 days and without an autopsy. And now a left-wing liberal will probably replace him. Anyone should be able to figure this out. It's because of this murder that the elite's plans have to be overturned, I believe. TD is saying anyway. You know, even if a conservative is installed to make things look clean, he can be threatened and blackmailed into submission, which appears to have already happened in past instances. So, you know, if you got your hopes set on a conservative judge, forget it. They can pretty much do what they want to do. But God is in control, and that's who we need to go to, is God. You know, he is the Savior, not any judge, not any president, etc. Pastor Hale said that I had a dream about being in a large auditorium. There had been a death of someone very important. It was not revealed to me who it was. So I guess we have to be careful. Again, most people believe it was Scalia, but maybe not. I just knew it was someone very important, and I thought maybe, possibly, it was a general or even maybe a general in the faith or something of that nature. Up in front of this huge auditorium was a casket, but it was covered in a flag, an American flag. Then, over the intercom, a voice came and said, "Remain seated as the President of the United States comes in." And on the left-hand side, a couple of doors came open, and in came the limousine of the President of the United States. Pretty tight security, wouldn't you think? I wonder what he's worried about. At any rate, he goes on to say, "As soon as it reached the front of the auditorium, oddly enough, the only thing I can tell you is that limousine flipped over and chaos happened within the auditorium," which of course is the people looking on. This black limousine has been named by this administration as the Beast. So he was riding in the Beast. Carried by the Beast. Could it be that President Obama and the elite Beast's plans for America during his time in power are overturned, flipped over? overthrown by God because of fervent prayer? Well, we'll see. We'll see what you think. He said, when it flipped over, it was like whoever this person was, chaos was connected to the death of this important person. It's interesting, since Justice Scalia just passed away. I believe that we are about to see some major chaos in the world, and things are going to turn upside down. I believe we are about to see some major, major trouble from here on out now. Well, my thoughts are that, granted that Scalia may not be the person in the casket, it's possible. No doubt more leaders will die. But another dream given to T.D. Hale seems to agree with the overthrow of this administration and a change in what the Lord was threatening to do through them to America and Christianity. It's no secret that ISIS and others have been brought in to make war on America and Christianity, just like we see over there in Europe, and to bring about an Islamic State here. I wonder if they will be loosed for chaos if the president's plans appear to be overturned. If his tenure is not extended through a martial law, how will the people who falsely say he's the Antichrist prove their point? I mean, this is going to make them hard to prove this. You know, even if he goes from the presidency to the UN, he is only an Antichrist in the head of the corporate body of the Antichrist, just like the man who replaces him. Yes. If you want to see this more particular, who is the Antichrist beast, you can go to our book, Hidden Manna for the End Times. It will tell you very specifically what the Bible says about the Antichrist, and it would surprise an awful lot of people to know. So, anyway, I just thought, well, pray for him to be saved before he dies, as some have seen. And what a witness that would be, right? The Lord has got a habit of making the best out of the worst. So, his power is made perfect in weakness, right? Wouldn't it be an awesome testimony for what some Christians think is the worst? To be saved by God. What would that prove? His great mercy and grace can make of anybody what he wants them to be. That's a strong encouragement, right? That would be a strong encouragement to a lot of people. So anyway, here's a word given to Pastor T.D. Hale on February the 1st of 2016. The body of Christ is divided. And not only are they divided, they are torn, and their minds are in a state of confusion. And, I think that many of them fear that they are losing their country to lawlessness. Anyway, he went on to say, because of the confusion, they will elect a madman whose heart is full of lies. And unstable, a man of deception who speaks those words that sound as truth, but underneath it is lies to gain the people's trust, and they will fall for it. Well, he goes on to say Trump will win the nomination and win the presidency. Well, I guess a lot of Christians don't really know about Trump. You know, they know that he speaks a conservative view, but his life is a mess, and he is certainly not a Christian. Anyway, time will tell if Pastor Hale is right again, as he was right with Obama. Although Trump doesn't know the Lord, he has a few things going for him that would put off the majority of this administration's plans to destroy Christianity here. He does not favor preferential treatment to Islam, communism, homosexuality, or liberals, all of which consider this administration their advocates. You know, these groups have historically hated Christianity. Could their disappointment bring part of the chaos that Hale warned of? Could be. This would be a great disappointment. As we know, God has given favor to Trump to really run away in the polls. And anyway, I'll go on with... anyway, that's his revelation from God that Trump will win the nomination and win the presidency. And we'll see if it's from God. But Obama has laid a path of destruction. Now, there's a lot of Christians that don't know that, but there's still a lot of Christians that do know that. That he is ready to bring much destruction. Obama has laid a path of destruction, but because of the heartfelt prayers, tears of repentance, intercession, destruction has been diverted for a season. But it is not the will of the Lord to see destruction, terror, and judgment. Well, of course, that's why he shows you these things, warns you of these things, so that you know, you need to draw close to him and be part of that corporate body that repents and is a reason why God doesn't bring destruction, right? Not a part of the problem, but a part of the solution. And, of course, you know that we've been praying that the Father would send revival instead of the bloody overthrow of Christianity at this time. And we've been asking for mercy to change hearts. And this dream could be an answer to our prayers. Anyway, Pastor Hale goes on to say, a premature season is upon the land because the people refuse to heed the voices of the prophets, watchmen, handmaidens, and servants with a tender heart. A premature season. Well, the premature season threatened by God could be the war on the saints planned by the beast at this time. I have thought all along that this was too early. According to this, it's been overthrown to come at its scriptural time, which is the middle of the tribulation period, as I've taught already in Hidden Manna. Now, I don't say what the Bible says in general is always true of any individual nation. Okay? Personally, I do believe that the devil wants to take over America because it's the head of the world beast. And that's in Hidden Manna too. Anyway, so again, we see God's great mercy in listening to the prayers of people who are crying out to him because of the things that they see coming upon the world, right? Pastor Hale goes on. He says, because trouble that lays at the door of Clinton, Sanders will be the nominee, but will not win. Many of the candidates will lose heart after tonight and start to drop off the race to give a clear path. Well, some did, that is true. Cruz is of a pure heart, but the body is divided. The path has been changed. So what is this? This is the path of the premature war on the saints. He called it a premature season. But he goes on to say, destruction still lays in our way. And of course, that's true because of the time in history. The Bible cannot be broken. We see the judgments in the book of Revelation that are coming upon us. We see the things actually that are before the tribulation that are coming upon us. And we don't know that these things are delayed. I do believe that this war that was planned to accost Christianity in the United States and Americans in general may have been delayed. We'll see. But we know that everything will come in its scriptural time. That's why I point you to Hidden Manna so you can look at some of the scriptural timing there. And you'll see what I said there about when this war will come to pass. Somewhere around the middle of the tribulation. Pastor Hale also said he saw the plate in America being broken up from the Midwest to the West Coast. And I think that's kind of interesting. he didn't give any timing, but we've been expecting great earthquakes. The Lord will obviously show the timing, but we believe that the plate will truly be broken from the Midwest to the West Coast. What came to me as I was thinking on this is a principle in Amos. I'm going to read to you Amos chapter 7, verse 1 on down. Thus saith the Lord, showed me, and behold, he formed the locusts in the beginning of the shooting up of the latter growth. And lo, it was the latter growth after the king's mowings. And it came to pass that when they made an end of eating the grass of the land, then I said, O Lord, forgive, I beseech thee, how shall Jacob stand? For he is small. Well, this locust invasion represents the northern army that would come to destroy Israel. And Amos complained to the Lord that his people were small, meaning they were immature to be able to survive such an attack. And I believe this is true, that the church are babies after millennia of falling away to religion, which has no power, no faith, etc. Many would surely deny their Lord and lose their soul. Would they put under this pressure right now? But let revival come and a few years of training in truth, and the same people would be martyrs. I believe we just saw wonderful demonstrations in the Middle East of Christians who gave up their life rather than deny their Lord. How many in materialistic, backslidden, reprobate America would do such a thing? Well, before training and before revival and before anointing, I believe many would fall away. Anyway, verse 3. The Lord repented concerning this. It shall not be, saith the Lord. Thus the Lord showed me, and behold, the Lord called to contend by fire, and it devoured the great deep, and would have eaten up the land. Then said I, O Lord, cease, I beseech thee, how shall Jacob stand? For he is small. The Lord repented concerning this also. Shall not be, says the Lord. Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood beside a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? He said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not again pass by them, meaning in judgment, any more. So this is meaning that the standard of uprightness will be observed. And a time will come, as it did for the disciples in the book of Acts, for a harvest of the ripe fruit. And the high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. And I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. So, a time to cut off the apostate religions and factious persecutors who have not repented and received this revival. So, as you know, these are people who have persecuted and lied about and the man-child ministry. Even before it's anointed, they do that. So, what happens when the anointing comes? Well, Jesus is a perfect example of what happens. And we know that this scriptural timing is going to ultimately come to pass. And history always repeats according to the Lord. Ecclesiastes 1:9, that which hath been is that which shall be. And that which hath been done is that which shall be done. There is no new thing under the sun. So obviously, history is a prophecy of the future, except on a larger scale. Is there a thing whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been long ago in the ages which were before us. I was told by the Lord many years ago that the Gospels and the Acts would be repeated in these end times on a worldwide scale, with the cast of characters multiplied many times over. So when you look in the Gospels and the Acts, you're seeing a prophecy of the end times. Remember that the Gospels speak of 3.5 years of the man-child Jesus' ministry, in which there was a time of relative peace so that Jesus could raise up the church through revival, through teaching, through anointing. And Jesus also said in John 16 that he would come again as a man-child born to a woman. In other words, a repeat of history, except on a larger scale. And we see that man-child born to the woman in the end times of Revelation 12. This is a repeat of history on a larger scale with many more people. The first 3.5 years of the tribulation will be a time for training by the man-child ministry, which is a bunch of reformers in whom Jesus lives by word and by anointing of his spirit. And this will bring a great revival with signs and wonders and many converts, just as it did in Jesus' day. So what would these people who, obviously if the blood and guts all happened up front, many of these converts might decide they really don't want to have anything to do with Christianity, right? It looks pretty dangerous, you know. But let revival happen first, bring them into the kingdom, strengthen them, put the word in them, and it's a whole different story down the road if they run into the blood and guts. When the Gospels were over and Acts came, it was a time when the word of the kingdom went forth in much persecution. The beast and the harlot made war on the saints, even up to the destruction of apostate Jerusalem. The disciples, who learned from Jesus in relative peace, now were being murdered. And although Obama has covertly used ISIS and others to kill Christians, there is no official war on Christianity now, but it will be official, and it'll be government-sponsored, and it'll be accepted then, because of the Antichrist spirit that will take over humanity. And of course, this is in accordance with what happened after Jesus' ministry in the book of Acts. So that's why I say the scriptural timing is going to happen. Even though because the scripture tells you what ultimately will come. And even though God should threaten, people do repent, cry out to him, ask for mercy and grace, and he answers. And this revelation could be just that, a revelation that he has answered. I hope so. It is what we've been praying for. And You know, if you want a more full explanation of this timing, you can read our book, Hidden Manna for the End Times. By the way, we just received yesterday a confirmation of the timeline there from Kathleen Coelho on the 8th. It's a confirmation of the timeline graphics. She said, "My daughter-in-law, Elisa, sent me a message yesterday. She said, when she went into her bedroom, she saw that my little 3-year-old granddaughter was looking at my graphics on David's book, Hidden Manna for the End Times. She said the following, 'Mommy, look what I found.'" This is a 3-year-old now. "Mommy, look what I found. It's a treasure map to show us how to find Grandpa, my boy, Grandma Avelina, and Heavenly Father in heaven." In other words, how are they going to get to see these that have gone on before them, right? How awesome. A treasure map to show them that. She was looking at the graphics. I have a picture of her doing that here. Elisa couldn't believe her ears. The Lord really spoke through my little granddaughter. "My son's 3 boys put the name Grandpa, my boy, on my husband because he always addressed them in English and called them my boy after their names." Lara also always calls him Grandpa, my boy, when she looks at his pictures. That's the 3-year-old, right? And I've got a picture here of that with the timeline graphics in her hand, which we had made up, but the timeline is not in Hidden Manna as a graphic. It's taught there so that people will understand it before their traditions cause them to reject it. You give somebody a whole picture up front, if they're just full of the traditions of men, they just scoff at it and cast it down. It's not what they've heard. And that's why the Lord told me not to put the timeline in there, but just teach on it. And I did. So anyway, here's a picture of her with the timeline graphic that we made, which is not in Hidden Manna. And don't ask for it. So now, for 3.5 years, there will be plenty of destruction in the world, as T.D. Hale said, but time will be given through revival to spread the vine of Jesus Christ, just as Gaynold Moser's vision and words we're going to share with you. We call this the vine of Jesus to spread his branches. And Gaynold Moser had this in March the 2nd of this year. She said, "As I was waiting for a word yesterday, he gave me a vision instead. I saw a small vine. It began growing longer and longer with more and more branches. I was amazed at the length of the vine and the fullness of the branches." Oh, praise the Lord. "My thought was that this is revival, the gospel going forth, and the harvest coming in. And the branches attached to the vine are saints receiving nourishment from Jesus." Amen. "And the Father working in the hearts of those who are his." Amen. This is what we want. This is what's going to happen. This is why she saw this vision. She said, "As I was seeing the vision, I heard the scripture from John 14:5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same beareth much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." So true. We have to be connected to the vine. And the way we do that, by the way, is How can two walk together except they be agreed? We have to abide in Him. And we come into agreement with Him by the Word of God, the understanding of the Word of God. So many of God's people are upset and in confusion, just as Pastor Hale said, because they don't know how to cooperate with God, nor what is God's good purpose for them in these things that are coming. So they're fearful, and many times people just think that God has deserted them or whatever. Knowledge just makes a person able to stand in a time like this. They need understanding to be able to stand. How shall Jacob stand? He is small. Yes, too small. And then the verse that I received by random was Luke 9 and 35. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my Son, my chosen. Hear ye him." Well, now here's Moses and Elijah, and of course the people of God in Jesus' day, you know, put a lot of stock in Moses and Elijah, and they're there. But suddenly the Lord says, "No, I want you to put all of your attention on this one right here, my Son." And I believe that that's why the latter rain anointing is going to be poured out first upon the man-child in whom Jesus lives. And Gaynell put this note. She said, "I wondered if this could be referring to Jesus coming in the man-child ministry." Well, I believe that that's absolutely the true vine of the Word and power of Jesus will once again spread, and the elect branches who were born of Him will return to their roots and shake the earth once more. Glory be to God. We need to pray for this, saints. Pray for this reformer ministry to come. And it's in the world. It just has not received that anointing yet. God wants people to hear this reformer. He's going to show up a lot of the false teachers for what they really are, that is, to those who are the elect of God. And, you know, like the Pharisees and Sadducees were angry with Jesus, who was the man-child of his time, which is to be repeated in our time. They railed on him. They were angry with him. He was in their pocket, you know, pocketbook, so to speak, and they were jealous, and they were just full of rage. They were very factious. They came against their brother. He came unto his own received him not. So, this is the same today. Nothing has changed. Humanity hasn't changed, and God hasn't changed, and His Word hasn't changed. So, here we go again. Round the mountain again. I mean, history is repeating, right? But the Lord is emphasizing, "This is my Son, my chosen. Hear ye Him." It is necessary. The Bible says, "Faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ." So, we get faith when we get hearing, and we get hearing as we study the Word. Right? And another word through Gaynold on revival came on January the 28th. 2016. "Thanks so much for sharing the encouraging words concerning revival coming soon. As you were sharing on Wednesday of this week, I was reminded of the word the Lord spoke to me last week on the 28th. I felt the Lord prompted me to share it with you. Behold, there is a light shining on my people." Amen. You know, the words of the man-child to be, the prophets, the teachers, so on and so forth, that are sending forth the truth and the light, and the John the Baptist ministry of repentance, who is preparing the way, All of this is going forth to prepare the people for what is to come. There's a light shining on my people, he said. A light to draw them near to me, that they would seek my word and to have a deeper relationship with me and a deeper revelation of me in their spirit. Well, amen. You know, the more you read the Word of God, the more you have a desire to know Him and to search out things. He gives you a desire for that. If you don't have that desire and you're distracted by the world, let me say, ask Him for it. He said, you have not because you ask not. Just ask Him for it and believe that no doubt or unbelief could sneak in and steal all that I have promised I will provide for them. That's right. The Word will give you confidence. Romans 10 and 17 says, so belief cometh of hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. They will be a people dressed in the armor I've provided for them. By the way, go study the armor. You'll find out that it all comes through a personal relationship with the Word. Right? They will be a people strongly knit together by my Spirit, a cord that cannot be broken. They will stand on my word and will not compromise. Compromisers of the word will fall, just as we have seen. The things that have been are the things that shall be, right? She goes on to say, they will not justify actions that are not of me. Many do that, justify actions in order to do what they want to do, and they don't understand. This is deception. This is self-delusion. This will lead you to demon possession. This will lead you to foolishness, that you'll miss out on maybe years of what the Lord could do through you. And by the way, a little leaven leavens a whole lump, so you can pass it right on to your family, right? Desire the truth. Walk in the truth. Speak the truth. Obey the truth, right? She went on to say, they will not justify actions that are not of me, but will judge themselves according to my word. My love will flow out of them to those around them. They will stand firmly together in solidarity, linking, armed in arm, united in prayer. They will receive what they pray for because they truly believe. There will be an atmosphere of praise and thanksgiving. I will be in the midst of them. Well, how will Jesus be in our midst? I suggest Ephesians chapter 3, 14 through 21. It says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father. In other words, I pray to the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that He would grant you. Now, if Paul could pray for this and receive it, obviously we can. And he's given us a demonstration here, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory, that you may be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inward man. Ask for that. That you may be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inward man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. There it is. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. To the end that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be strong to apprehend. Some versions say comprehend. It's totally wrong. Apprehend means to obtain this thing, right? May be strong to apprehend with all the saints, that's the sanctified ones, what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ. So to apprehend everything that Christ is what he's saying. Which passes knowledge, that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. Isn't that awesome? What a promise. Most of Christianity didn't believe this is possible. Well, nothing's impossible with God. Now, unto him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, that just Just remember that. Even pray to God. Ask Him to do exceedingly and abundantly above all you ask or think. That's a good thing to pray. I pray it all the time. According to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus unto all generations forever and ever. Amen. So God is able to bring this to pass. And that's why He says pray for it. Paul's saying, I pray for this. I pray for this fullness of Christ. This is how Christ is coming in our midst. We know He's physically coming, or not, physical may not be the right word, but He's going to come at the end of the tribulation period. But meantime, He's coming in us. There is an epiphany before the parousia. Those are two different Greek words that talk about His coming. The epiphany is His coming in us so that we may be ready for His coming. Right? And Gaynold says, our little community and so many others around the world are so much in need of revival. If they only knew the truth. And of course, we must tell them. That's our job. So be a part of this revival. You know, obey this word that was given through Gaynold on December the 1st, 2015. It says, quiet your spirit so you can hear my voice. Cast out all distractions. I am here to guide you. Don't put your agenda before me. Yeah, Matthew 6 and 33 says, but seek ye first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Why should you seek the things if all you got to do is seek Him? And the other things will take care of themselves, right? She went on, you will find your agenda will consume all of your time, and there will be no room for me, no time for me. I will be pushed outside as when I was born in a stable because there was no room in the inn. Don't let this be a repeat in your life. You must make room, make time for me. I will not push my way into your life. True. This is the time, folks. This is the time. I mean, we need grace from God in these days. Before the tribulation, and even before these things happen before the tribulation, we need grace from God. You need it. You need it for your family. You need it for the people around you. You need Christ in you, the hope of glory. He can do the work. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, right? He went on to say, I want to meet your needs, but it will happen only if you focus on me. Yep, we can pray as Song of Solomon, the Shulamite, said in 1 and 4. Draw me, we will run after thee. Draw me. In other words, counting totally on God's grace and mercy, not on our own ability, right? And for that prayer, the answer was, the king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will make mention of thy love more than of wine. Rightly do they love thee. Amen. And then the Lord goes on to say, your part is to submit and to obey my word, to trust me, to believe my promises are for you. Believe and you will receive. Stand on my word, don't waver in doubt and unbelief. I am faithful to my word, but you must believe it or it will not manifest in your life. That's why it's so important to study what faith is and know what it is and walk in it. And Gaynold said, I received John 16 and 30 by random after receiving the above word. And here is the context. John 16, 23 through 33. And then that day, you shall ask me no question. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if you shall ask anything of the Father, He will give it to you in My name. Oh, praise the Lord. That's awesome. If you shall ask anything of the Father, He will give it to you in My name. So ask. Hitherto have you asked nothing in My name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be made full. He wants us to get answers to prayer. He wants us to be happy about getting answers to prayer. He wants us to rejoice and brag on Him about answers to prayer. Amen. These things have I spoken unto you in dark sayings. The hour cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in dark sayings, but shall tell you plainly of the Father. I believe the same thing is happening now. The Lord is speaking many dark sayings and dreams and visions, and there's uncertainty there. And the Bible tells us, you know, in Job, that God speaks in dreams and visions and men don't listen. But if they're extremely fortunate, by the grace of God, they find an interpretation to these dreams, and he says he saves them from going down to the pit. So, dark sayings. Yep, the Lord chose to speak in His early ministry in these dark sayings. And then, in that day, you shall ask in My name, and I say not unto you, I will pray the Father for you, for the Father Himself loveth you, because you have loved Me. A good point. If you love Jesus, you'll keep His commandments. If you keep His commandments, the Father will love you. That's a condition, and it's in the Word. And have believed that I came forth from the Father. Well, amen. I came out from the Father and am come into the world. And, of course, we too must come out of the Father and come into the world. And why do I say that? Because the Word, which came down out of heaven, is what recreates in us Christ in you. We are born from above. And whatsoever part of us is not born from above is not going there. I came out from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples say, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no dark saying. Now know we that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. And Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is come, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave Me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with Me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in Me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And of course, the One who overcame the world lives in us to overcome the world. Amen? Oh, how awesome. See, anything the Lord commands us to do, He is capable of bringing it to pass. We just need to trust in Him. Go to Him for grace. Like the Shulamite said, draw Me, we will run after you. Because, of course, the Shulamite is a corporate body. She said, draw Me, and we will run after you. Right? The Shulamite bride, which is about to be totally chosen, because just before the man-child does his work, comes to do his work with his anointing, the bride is chosen. Oh, praise You, Father. Praise You, Father. Thank You so much, Lord, for this encouragement. We know, Lord, that many shakings are going to come. But I pray that Pastor Hale's revelation is true, and it is also the fulfillment of our prayers, and that we will have that time with the Reformer ministry to get straight in our head what is the truth that sets free. We know that many will not have to die because they have fully walked in that truth that you give. There'll be those that are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord because of the wisdom and knowledge of the truth that sets free. So, Father, we just put our trust in you, Lord. Lord, we are ignorant of many things. We thank you for giving us here a little and there a little. We thank you for opening our understanding. We thank you for showing us how we can cooperate with you in this awesome process of sanctification. We thank you for helping us and putting a desiring us to lose our life that we might gain our life. And, of course, dead men don't have to die. And, Lord, we pray that we fully be capable by your Spirit in our inner man, to be strengthened by your Spirit in our inner man, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, to the end that we be rooted and grounded in love, may be strong to apprehend with all the saints what is the length and the breadth and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Jesus Christ. Oh, let it be, Lord, let it be. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for your mercy towards us. And we ask that great revival go forth in America, in power. Great revival, great restoration. Joel said that this would be your method for restoring all things that have been stolen from your body. And so we thank you for that, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. Lord, bless our families that we've been believing for. Bless them and draw them close to you. Deliver them from evil. Let your revival go forth and touch them too, where they are, Lord. It's all in your hand, Lord, all in your power. We thank you for doing it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, make Jesus Lord of our lives, Lord. Make him the Lord. Let his word be highly respected among all that are his, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. We ask it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Praise your name. Praise your name.